Okay, we're beginning here on the middle of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Mishnah says that another distinction or differentiation that we have between Kodesh and Truma is that there is Hariviba Kodesh is Pasul, whereas Ashlishi Bitruma is Pasul. Again, we've spoken about this a number of times, that the word Pasul means that's the end of the line of the levels of Tuma. Something that is Tamei means that it accepts Tuma, it also conveys Tuma. When you say pasul, means that it ruins that item, but it no longer conveys tuma. So when you say that a revi b'kodesh is pasul, that means that's the last level of tuma in kodesh is a revi'i l'tuma. There is no chamishi l'tuma b'kodesh. The same is true by truma. When you say truma is pasul by shlishi, that means that that's the last level of tuma within truma. There is no revi'i by truma. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Minayin the revi b'kodesh shehu pasul. How do we know that a revi b'kodesh is pasul? Vidinhu. It is a kal v'chomer. Uma mechusar kipurim. Shemutar b'chuma pasul b'kodesh. A mechusar kipurim is someone who has been tamei for a 7-day period, but it's not sufficient for his tara to simply wait out the 7 days b'tahara. He also has an obligation to bring korbanot on his 8th day. So for instance, it happens by a zav, happens by a zavah gedolah, happens by a mitzorah. Each of these individuals has a process of tara that extends over 7 days. Then on the 8th day, they bring a korban. After they've completed their process of tara, they've gone to the mikveh, the sun set on the 7th day, they are tahor, but what they are called is mechusar kipurim. Missing their kapara, because they still have to bring their korbanot, which are termed in these cases as being a kapara, they involve a chatat, and it says v'chiper. So the kapara is brought on the 8th day, and they are mechusar kippurim, they're still missing their korbanot. As far as that individual is concerned, we're going to learn this together in the Gemara and Yevamot, so we'll take it for granted now that that is the case. A mechusar kippurim is mutar in everything except b'kodesh. That means that they can have maser, they can have truma. They are considered to be tahor for all of these items and can participate and eat them, but they are still precluded from kodesh or entering into the mikdash. That is what mechusar kippurim is missing. Once they brought their korban, then they are permitted in kodesh and they're permitted to enter into the mikdash. So as far as a mechusar kippurim is concerned, they are mutar b'truma. They can participate in truma, but they are pasul b'kodesh. They cannot participate in Kodesh. Shilishi, someone says shlishi the tuma, shepasul b'truma, a shlishi, which is pasul b'truma, inudin, shiaseh revi la Kodesh, certainly it should make a revi'i la Kodesh. If we compare it against a mechusar kippurim, where we say mutar b'truma, asur b'kodesh, then if I look at a shlishi, which is problematic in truma, then certainly it should be problematic in Kodesh. So now, that's interesting because the Kal V'chomer has a number of issues with it. Right, so one of the problems is what David is raising right now, which is Dayo Avo Minadin Liot Kinidon. When you make a Kal V'chomer, the Kal V'chomer assumes that you can only be as good as the source itself. It can't be greater. Here you're trying to extend it, that it has an even higher level of Tuma than the source that you're learning from. Means that if you're going to learn a Kal V'chomer, the Kal V'chomer teaches me, well, if A is true, B is more chamur, then if what is true by A is certainly true by B. It doesn't mean that what's true by A, therefore by B it'll be even greater. That's not a Kal V'chomer. That's a logical step that is not necessarily followed through, because we don't know how much higher it should be or what the extension should be. All you can say is it's true by A, then it's certainly true by B. But you can't say is that, oh, then if it's true by A, then B should be even more. That we can't say. That's not a Kal V'chomer. So that's what's called Dayo Lavo Minadin Liot Kinidon. So Rashi raises this issue right here and says, but that's not a problem. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that if you have a Kal V'chomer and you invoke the principle of Dayo and then it undermines the Kal V'chomer is no longer meaningful. Once you invoke the principle of Dayo, then we don't invoke that principle. I mean that if through the Kal V'chomer and then saying, oh, Dayo, it's exactly like the source, you end up nowhere, then the Kal V'chomer has done nothing for you. And that would be the case here. If you invoke the word Dayo now, which is that it can be no better than the source, then you've done me no good. Because the source says that by Mechusar Kippurim, I'm mutar b'truma, and I'm osur by Kodesh. And now what do you want to say here? You want to say that a shlishi the tuma is problematic by truma, so certainly it should be problematic by Kodesh. Well, it'll be the same problematic as Kodesh is by the Korban, then you haven't done anything for me. You haven't extended it any further than it was before. I could have done that without you. A shlishi, it would have been problematic in Kodesh, meaning that a sheni to make a shlishi in Kodesh, that I know already. That's not information that's added by the Kal Vachomer. So if I invoke the principle of Dayo here, the Kal Vachomer becomes meaningless. Therefore, I don't worry about Dayo, and I say that the Kal Vachomer works and extends it to a Revi'i B'Kodesh. And that's why the Kal Vachomer works over here. That's one thing that Rashi says. So he says the Kal Vachomer works even though it goes against one of the principles and logic of the Kal Vachomer because of this Gemara Baba Kama, which says that if we invoke this principle and it ruins the Kal Vachomer, we don't invoke it. So that's number one. Number two is, Rashi says, the one who says that we do say Dayo, even though it ruins the Kal Vachomer, then what are you going to say about this Gemara over here? He says, Hani Malut Derabononinhu V'Lav Doraita. All of these different stages or levels of Tuman Tara are all Malut Derabanan. These aren't Dini Midoraita. This is not a Torah principle. These are simply rabbinic enhancements. And therefore, what do you mean? V'Lamadnu Shlishi Da Kodesh. Next line in the Gemara is, we know that Shlishi is Kodesh Minat Torah. So that doesn't make it sound like it's rabbinic in nature. That makes it sound like it's a Din Doraita. So Rashi says that it's a Melitza Ba'alma. Just an expression to say, yeah, it's like, you know, Shlishi is like that it is from the Torah. Not that literally it is Minat Torah. So Rashi has two ways to learn this. Either he's learning that this is real, the Kal Vachomer is real, and this is a Din Minat Torah. Because Shlishi the Kodesh, we're going to see is Minat Torah. And therefore, a Revi'i will also be through this Kal Vachomer Min HaTorah. That's one side. And then at the polar opposite, Rashi says, well, according to the one who says the Kal Vachomer doesn't work, we're only talking about Dinei Durabanan here. And not only is the Revi'i a Durabanan, even the Shlishi, which the Gemara calls Min HaTorah, is just Durabanan. They're just using that expression, but they don't really mean it. So on one side, Rashi says, you could explain this Gemara as simply being totally Durabanan, and the principles that are invoked here are just nice ways of expressing the different levels derabanan, but they're not real arguments. Or the other side, which is this all doraita, and this really means mi derabanan. There's a shlishi, a revi, so on and so forth. So Rashi has both sides of this, two extremes about explaining. Either it's completely doraita, or it's completely derabanan. There are others that suggest almost a middle ground here. And maybe Rashi in other places, which is maybe that a shlishi is doraita, but the Kal Vachomer to make the revi is only derabanan. So that way you have different ways of seeing this Gemara. This is not the main sugya for this Gemara. This Gemara appears, we saw it together in the first parak in Pesachim, where Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. There they talked also about shlishi and revi. We're also going to see it again in Yevamot. We're going to bump into this Gemara again. In each of those places, we'll see different ways of explaining it, also in the Gemara in Kulin. Rashi has different ways of explaining it, but here you see that there is a little bit of tension in whether these are dinim d'oraita or dinim d'rabanan. Then the Gemara continues and says, "V'lamadnu shlishi l'kodesh min haTorah revi b'kal v'chomer." The shlishi l'kodesh we find is sourced in the Torah, and the revi is the kal v'chomer that we just invoked. Shlishi l'kodesh min haTorah minayin. Where do we find a third level of tumah in the kodesh min haTorah? Dichtiv. It says, "V'basar asher yiga b'chol tameh." Lo ye'achel. Here we're talking about basar shlamim, basar kodesh, that comes into contact with any tamei, lo ye'achel, may not be eaten. Mi lo askinen denaga b'sheni. How do you know what level of tumah it bumped into? It doesn't give you any details, or doesn't give you any information as to what the tumah is that it bumped into. It just says if it touches tumah, it is tamei. So isn't the case here where it bumped into a sheni l'tumah, and yet it calls it, v'kamar rachmana lo ye'achel. And the Torah says, don't eat it. So you see, even when it bumps into a sheni l'tuma, which would make the basar kodesh into a shlishi, the Torah says, no good, don't eat it. Well, how do we know about a sheni l'tuma? So that's the interesting aspect, because the Torah says in Peikra, in Parshat Shmini, it says that anything that is found inside of a kli cheres, the kli is tamei, and whatever is found inside of it is tamei. What happened there is a sheretz. A sheretz came into contact with the kli, cheres. Sheretz, which is an avatuma, came into contact with the kli cheres, or is in the toch, in the avir, the airspace of the kli cheres. It makes the kli cheres into a rishon netuma. The Torah says that what's found inside of the kli cheres becomes tameh. Food and ochel and drinks that are inside of this kli cheres become tameh. Well, if the kli cheres is a rishon netuma, the drinks and the food inside of it are a sheni letuma. So that's how we know that within the Torah, there is a sheni letuma. And what the Gemara is saying here is, then we have a pasuk in Parshat Tzav, which says that a basar sheyiga b'chol tameh lo yachel. Basar kodashim that touches any tameh. Well, if you look through the Torah, what type of tuma do you find? We find an avatuma, we find a rishon letuma, and we even find a sheni letuma. The Gemara says, well, it doesn't define here which tuma it came into contact with. It sounds like any tuma it comes into contact with, that might even be a sheni letuma. Since it came into contact with sheni tuma and is still restricted, that shows you that there is a shlishi letuma by basar kodesh, by kodesh. So that's how we know that there's a shlishi lekodesh min haTorah. Revi'i mikal v'chomer hadamran. How do we get to the fourth level? That's the kal v'chomer we just invoked before, which is by mechuser kippurim. By Mechuser Kippurim, where we saw that he is mutar b'truma, yet still asur b'kodesh, then a shlishi, which is problematic by truma, certainly it should be problematic by kodesh. And so from that we learn that there's a revi'i, the kodesh, again, possibly min haTorah, or again, if it's derech melitza, then that would only be mi dirabanan. Right now, the next maila in the Mishnah is, Ubechuma imnit meit. The last issue that's brought up by the Mishnah is talking about hands. It says in the Mishnah that if one's hand is tamei, then by chuma the other hand remains tahor, and only one hand is tamei. On the other hand, by kodesh, if you have one hand that becomes tamei, the other hand then becomes tamei, and he has to be matbil them. He has to put both of them in the mikveh. It's an additional maila by kodesh, which is that in order to be mitaher yadayim. When your yadayim become tamei, remember any tumah of yadayim is only derabanan, because the Torah doesn't recognize any differentiation between the yadayim and the guf. The fact that we make the yadayim tameim is all a din derabanan. Now that din derabanan requires either netilat yadayim for tumah, or by kodesh it requires you to dip your hands into the mikveh. So that's the differentiation between tumah and kodesh. Gemara wants to understand this and says, "Amar Rav Shizvi, bichiburim shanu." When we are talking about here, we're talking about when there is a connection. Aval shelo bichiburim lo. If there is no connection, then that is not the case. How do we explain this? Chiburim is not so easy. Rashi explains over here, bichiburim shanu, kagon shebaod shayad tmeya, nogat l'torah, haita, torah nogat b'kodesh. This, Rashi says, is a case of transitive property in a sense, which is you have one hand that is tamei. Obviously, the hand that's tamei cannot touch the kodesh. But you have another hand that is tahor. So maybe with the hand that is tahor, you could touch or pick up the kodesh. So now, what Rav Shizvi is saying is, you know, you're right. With that hand that is tahor, you can pick up the kodesh. When can you not pick up the kodesh? When is your other hand problematic? If your tahor hand goes to pick up the kodesh, and at the same time your tamei hand is touching your tahor hand. So if your tamei hand is touching the tahor hand and then you want to go pick up kodesh, that is problematic. That makes the other hand tamei. That's what Rashi calls chiburim, connected. What's connected? The tamei hand is connected to the tahor hand. Kugom shoda yad tamei nogat l'torah. While the tamei hand is touching the Torah hand, aita Torah nogat b'kodesh. And then it's touching the kodesh. And the Rabbanim goes there in that case, that it's problematic because you might come to pick up the kodesh with the hand that is tamei. So if you would have picked up with your hand that's tamei, it's problematic. So when you go to pick up with your hand that's tahor, also, we're going to worry about it only when your tamei hand is touching the tahor hand. But if your tamei hand is not touching the tahor hand, you're completely tahor hand, you can pick it up according to Rav Shizvi. That's Rashi's explanation of what chiburim is. Tosvot brings this down, and he brings a different explanation here for what chiburim is. And he says here, Vod yesh lomar b'chiburim shanu, diyad achad nogat b'sefer haposla. One hand is touching a Sefer HaKodesh. We've seen this a number of times, that Sefer HaKodesh are mitame et ha-yadayim. It's a gzeira. We saw that in the beginning of the Gemara in Shabbat, The gzera derives from the fact that they used to store their sfarim with the truma. Truma's kodesh, sfarim are kodesh, they used to store them together. The problem is that when it comes to food items, the rodents and other things get to them. And what was happening was that they were ruining the truma, but more importantly, at the same time, they were ruining the sfarim that were being kept with the truma. So the Chachamim wanted to force people not to put the sefer kodesh together with the truma. So what did they do? They simply made it that if you touched the sefer, your hands became tamei, and you would ruin the truma that's there. So therefore, they forced people to separate between their sefer kodesh and the truma. So in a case where one of your hands is touching a sefer haposla, it's touching a sefer, v'yada acheret nogat ba, tidon kilu nagah b'sefer, because v'inana shema tiga. So Tosafot gives a different explanation. Instead of what Rashi is explaining here, you're going to reach for the kodesh. Over here, you're going to reach for the tamei item. So you take your hand, you go to grab the sefer. The sefer will make the hand tamei. The other hand will remain tahor. There's no problem. But if your other hand is holding the hand that is touching the sefer, then it also becomes tamei, because we're afraid that you might take the tahor hand and touch the sefer. So as opposed to Rashi, he's talking about touching the kodesh, picking up the thing that is tahor. Then the problem is that you're going to convey the tumah to the thing that's tahor. Tosafot suggests over here the possibility that it's how the hands became tameh. If you touch the object, your hand becomes tameh. The other hand remains tahor. But b'chiburim, if you're touching the hand that is touching the object, then the other hand will become tameh, just like the hand that is touching the object becomes tameh. That's one option that Tosafot offers over here. And then he offers another explanation. Tosafot goes one step further and says that when one hand touches the sefer and becomes tamei, that the other hand becomes tamei automatically, even without being nogea, even without touching, not touching the other hand, and not touching the sefer, that the other hand becomes tamei because of chiburim. Chiburim is that your hand is touching the sefer, and by chibur, by being attached, the other hand being attached to you, it conveys the tumah from the one hand to the other hand, that the two hands themselves do not have to touch, and that the Duma is conveyed in that manner. So that's the Chiddush he mentions at the end. Tosafot, Rabbi Elianu Achanan says, what's the big deal here? My choshiv hai male b'matnitana ha, havi b'chlav revi b'kodesh. The hand that touches the sefer is a sheni, the Tuma, and then the other one becomes a shlishi. It's the same problem that you have by Truma. By Truma, a shlishi can't do anything anymore, but it can make a revi by kodesh. So that's Tosafot says, that's the Chiddush over here. What he's suggesting over here is that the two hands will actually have different levels of Tumah. The hand that touches the Sefer will become a Sheni the Tumah. The Chachamim made it that it makes your hands into a Sheni the Tumah. So the Sefer makes the Sheni Tumah, because then you'll ruin the Tumah, and that's why they instituted it. But your other hand that's not touching the Sefer will become a Shlishi the Tumah. That's what is meant over here, that it becomes Tamei. It doesn't become Tamei at the same level as the first hand, but at a lower level. So the first hand is a Sheni. The second hand becomes a Shlishi the Tuma. Now, the first hand can affect Truma because it's a Sheni and makes a Shlishi. It can also affect Kodesh. The second hand, because it's a Shlishi, can only affect Kodesh, make it to Ravi. It can't affect Truma. So Rabbeinu Chananan says, if you explain it that way, then this is a derivative of the fact that Truma only goes down to three levels, and Kodesh goes down to four levels, because your other hand is a Shlishi the Tuma. That's why it doesn't affect Truma. It's not because by Truma one hand isn't Mitame the other hand. No, by Truma is also Mitame. It just has no impact, because it's just too low a level of Tuma, so it doesn't impact anymore. So he says, well, then it's just the derivative of the same thing. So what does he say is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? He says, the Sakadatka, Kevin Dein Gufo Nitma, Elumiava Tuma, Gam Yadav Nami Lo. You would have thought, just like your body doesn't become Tamei except from an Avatuma, a person in a Kli can only become Tamei through an Avatuma, you would think your hands have the same din. That's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah, or the Chiddush in general, is that your hands can become Tamei. They become a Sheni, they can become a Shlishi. They have the ability to have these lower levels of Tuma, Mi Derabanan. And that's the Chiddush over here, even though it seems similar to the statement before in the Mishnah that there's a distinction between three and four levels of Tumah between Truma and Kodesh. So the fear in all these cases, whether according to Rashi or according to Tosafot, is that the hand that is not Tamei came into contact, according to Tosafot, with the Tamei object, or according to Rashi, the Tamei hand came into contact with the Tahor object that you're touching with your Tahor hand. And the other possibility that even without touching, either hand touching each other, the Tumah is still conveyed from one hand to the other. Because again, Shema, maybe you came into contact with the Tamei item, and therefore the hands would be at the same level of Tumah. that is both a sheni the tuma for the hand that touched the tuma, and a sheni the tuma for the other hand, which could have or possibly touched the tuma. Of course, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, as we just explained, it would drop down. One would be sheni, the other one would be shlishi, and that's what precipitated that question of the Rabbeinu Elchanan. So now the Gemara continues. So Rav Shizvi here explains that we have these chiburim shanu, that this is only true by chiburim. And again, we gave three different explanations as to what this chiburim is. One possibility is Rashi says you're touching the Kodesh, and then the other hand, tummy hand is touching your Tahor hand. Or it's the other way around. For Tosfot, you're touching the Tuma, and your Tahor hand is touching the hand that's touching the item that's making the hand tamay. Or the last possibility, which was that when you're touching the item that is tamay, it makes your other hand tamay. So those are the three different explanations. Abayi challenges this understanding. It says, Yad niguva, a dry hand, mitamei chaverta litamei kodesh. Is mitamei its other hand to be mitamei kodesh, avalo l'truma, not for truma. Divrei Rabbi. That's Rabbi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lifsol avalo l'tamei. It makes it pasul and not tamei. And that's what I was explaining over here, that even according to Rabbi Yossi, you could have this possibility that one hand is a sheni the tuma, and the other hand becomes a shlishi the tuma, and that's why it drops down a level, and it's only posel and not mitamei. Posel means it only makes something pasul, but doesn't extend another level. If your hands are a sheni the tuma, then a sheni would make a shlishi, and then a revi in kodesh. That means it makes something tamei, not pasul. The other hand, if your hand is a shlishi the tuma, a shlishi can only make a revi the tuma in kodesh, and therefore it only is posel. It is not mitamei. So that's the difference here between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. What's the status of this other hand? Is the other hand a sheni l'tuma? Or is the other hand a shlishi l'tuma? If it's a sheni l'tuma, now it can be mitamei. It'll make a shlishi, which will make a revi. But if your other hand is a shlishi l'tuma, then it can only make a revi. It makes it pasul, but it doesn't extend it any further. So here's a machloka between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. What does that have to do with us? Baye is challenging Rav Shizvi's explanation because this braita that we just quoted goes out of its way to say, Yad Niguva. It was dry hands. Why is that important that the hands were dry over here? Well, if you had liquids involved over here, then liquids would cause a problem because the Rabbanan would go there by liquids that anything that is poselet to Truma, anything that ruins Truma can go up to a Shlishi the Tuma. That means anything that's up to a Sheni the Tuma. It touches a liquid, the liquid becomes a tchila, becomes a rishon the tuma. That's the din of liquids. So now, if there was a liquid on one hand, then there wouldn't be any question over here. Because if you took one hand and touched the other hand, and there was liquid on it, then the hand that is a sheni the tuma would make liquid on the other hand a rishon the tuma. Because anything that can make pasul by tuma, hands a sheni the tuma, can make a shlishi the tuma by tuma. That means it's poselet a tuma. That hand, when it touches liquids, makes them a rishon. So if it touches liquids, on the other hand, that liquid becomes a rishon the tuma and makes your hand a sheni the tuma. So there's nothing to talk about. If I tie one hand to the other hand, if I'm transferring tuma and there's liquid on the hand, of course the other hand becomes tamei. So that's why the bright over here says that we're talking about a case where it's niguva, it's dry. Well, if it's niguva and dry, then why does the other hand become tamei? Your hand is a sheni the tuma. We don't make a shlishi the tuma on your hand. I mean, there's no such thing. If you touch truma, okay, it affects it. But if you touch your other hand, what's happening over here? Afa gavna duguvahi shenagah bazu. That when it touches the other hand, vein lachush shem nagah yada terah b'mashkim. You don't have to worry about the fact that the other hand touched liquids. Shebetmeya shehen rishonim. Because that would make the liquids into rishonim. So even so, it's metame the other hand. If you would say that it only works by chiburin, like Rosh Sivji says, kodesh, because maybe the tamei hand touches the kodesh, according to Tosafot, maybe the tahor hand touched the book that was tamei. My rebuta in the guva. Why does the guva have anything to do this? Atu yad kamaita lo mitamila la kodesh. The first hand doesn't make mitami the kodesh below mashkim. Haloshniyahi. It can do its work without any mashkim. The point is here, the fact that the breita says niguva, that everything is dry, tells you that the tuma transfers without chiburim over here. Because if it was just talking about chiburim, why does it matter whether it's dry or not dry? Why is that a relevant piece of information if it's chiburim? According to what Rav Shivzi explaining, the whole reason the other hand becomes tamei is because it's touching the Torah hand. Or according to Tosfot, the Torah hand is touching the tamei hand. That's what generates the tuma.
And it's premised on the chashash that the other hand did what the first hand did. Either the tahor hand touched the tumah, according to Tosafot, or according to Rashi, the tamei hand touched the kodesh that you're touching. So it's a chashash that that hand might have touched it. Liquid, dry, no relevance to that question of whether Rechoshesh, the second hand, did something.
Liquid, no liquid, doesn't really matter over here, whether it's Neguva. Neguva is not an important factor when you're talking about Chiburim. If you're not talking about Chiburim, then it becomes an important factor over here that the fact that the hands are dry, and the fact that the hands are dry and the tumah is still transferring, then that's a big chiddush, that it transfers even though your hands are dry. So therefore, if the Braita is speaking about niguva, is speaking about dry hands, then it's clear that it's speaking about a case, shelo b'chiburim, speaking about a case where they're not attached, and yet it's saying that the other hand becomes tamei. Because by definition, if the whole chashash here is whether you came into contact with the tumah or you didn't come into contact with the tumah, of course, right, niguva is not the chiddush over here. The whole question is, did you come or not come into contact? It's not about whether it's dry or not dry. The fact that the Braita goes out of its way to say that it's a dry hand, it's going to teach you must be something else that's going on over here. What's that other thing? That it's shelo b'chiburim. Right, so now the Gemara says, Iyamart bishlama shelo b'chiburim. If you say that the tumah passes without being attached, hainu rebuta the neguva. That explains why there's a chiddush here in the fact that you're talking about dry hands. Dry hands shouldn't convey tumah, yet they're still conveying tumah because one hand makes the other hand tameh. El Iyamart b'chiburim in shelo b'chiburim lo, if you say like Rav Shizvi, only when it's attached, the two hands are touching, does this happen? My rebuta in the guva. Why does it matter that it's dry or not dry? You're coming into contact with the tumah. That's the problem here. The problem is not whether your hands are dry or not dry. It's simply a question, did you touch the tumah or did you not touch the tumah? And through chiburim, we say, okay, maybe you touched the tumah or the other hand touched the tumah, or goes that the other hand touched the tumah, or it goes that the other hand that was tamah tameh touched the kodesh. Whichever way you're looking at it, but it has nothing to do with being dry or not dry. It all has to do with the chashash of maybe the hand that is tahor came into contact with the tumah. But over here, if you say that it's neguva, the chiddush would be, if you don't have chiburim, is that even though there's no way to transfer the tumah from one hand to the other hand automatically becomes tameh. And that's what the chiddush is over here. Now the Gemara says, itmar nami. There's some question as to whether the nami has relevance over here. If you just say itmar, then this next piece of the Gemara is disjointed from the previous Gemara. It has nothing to do with it. If you say itmar nami, then this is a continuation of the Gemara, and this has to be relevant to the previous Gemara. So itmar nami, amar esh lakish, lo shanu ela yado. Only time about his yad, av yad chavero lo. But his friend's hand, it's not like that. Meaning that if one of his hands becomes tamei, his other hand will become tamei. But if one of his hands comes to me, it will not affect his friend's hands. If he touches his friend's hand, it won't affect it. V'yochan amar, echad yado, v'echad yad chaviro, boto ayad lifso, avalo l'tame. So Rabbi Yochanan says two things. Number one is, if your hand touches your other hand, or it touches someone else's hand, it has the same impact, and it ruins their hands. Number two is, but that hand is only posel, but not mitame. So if he touches the first hand with the friend's hand, or he touches the second hand, only the first hand can be mitamei his chavero. The first hand, which is a sheni, can affect his friend's hand. The other hand cannot affect his friend's hand. It's already a second derivative, meaning that his first hand touched the second hand. The first hand is tamei. The second hand is tamei because it's derivative of the first hand. So that second hand then can't go and touch someone else's hand, a third hand, and say, also make that tamei. What you're saying is true is because oto yad lifsol. That hand can only be posel. I mean, that hand, the first hand, can only make something else pasul. Pasul means that that hand becomes tamei, but it's not mitamei. It can't convey tumah further. And that's what he's saying over here. Why is this relevant to our Gemara? Itmar nami. So Rabbeinu Chananel says something interesting. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Shma mina. Mean, da ashve le yile ado liyad chaviro. Since you equated his hand to his friend's hand, bichiburim svir le karav shizvi. He definitely holds like Rav Shizvi that it's all about chiburim over here. The fact that you made your hand and your friend's hand equal, that means well, we must be talking about a case of chiburim. That's the conclusion that he comes to. Others who say the Itmar Nami come to the exact opposite conclusion and say the fact that your hand can affect someone else's hand, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's only the hand that became Tamei and not the derivative hand, shows you that we're talking about a case where there is no chiburim over here. Because
if it was through chiburim, it should be irrelevant which hand is touching your friend's hand. Whether it's the first hand or the derivative hand that's touching your friend, the whole chashash of chiburim is that his hand is going to do the same thing that your hand did. It should be irrespective of which hand touches his hand. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan distinguishes and says only the first hand matters in terms of conveying tumah to your friend shows that shelo bichiburim. That is the sheet of the Turei Evan. All right, so now, umimai, how do you know this is the case? Minktani seifa, because our Mishnah actually has a certain amount of redundancy in it. It says, shayat mitamach chavirta lekodesh. One hand makes the other hand tamei for kodesh. Avalo lechumah, but that's not true by chumah. Ha tu lomali. Why do I need this statement in the Mishnah? Ha tani le'resha. The Mishnah already stated prior to that, that the information is there. What's the information? If you look back in the Mishnah tells us, umchumah, im nitmeit achad miyadav, chavirta tohora. That if the truma, if one of your hands is tamei, then the other one is tahor. Ubikodesh matbil shtehem. And in kodesh, you have to put both of them in the mikveh. So if I stop the mission there, you would know all the information you need to know. By truma, one hand is tamei, the other one is tahor. By kodesh, they're both tamei. How do I know that? Because you have to put both of them in the mikveh. So I have all my information. Then the Mishnah continues and says, sheyad mitamei chavrata bekodesh, avalo betruma. Because one hand has been tamei, the other hand by kodesh, and not by truma. Wait, didn't you just tell me that information? Without that next line in the Mishnah, I would have known that information. Yet the Mishnah seemingly repeats the same information again. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that's what teaches this. That redundancy in the Mishnah comes to teach you, alav shmamina latui yad chaveiro. Redundancy comes to teach you, not only are your hands both tamei, once one hand is tamei in kodesh, but you can even make your friend's hand tamei in kodesh. That's what it means, that hayad mitameit chaverta. Chaverta means not your other hand. Your other hand, I would have known that already when it says that you have to be matvil shtehem in the mikveh. So that I already know about your hands. So what does it mean that your one hand makes the other hand tamei? That means someone else's hand. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan learns out that din. Vaf Reish Lakish Hadarbe. And Reish Lakish also retracted his position and agreed with Rabbi Yochanan in the end. Amar Rabbi Yona, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Reish Lakish. Echad Yado. That hand is posel. Avalo l'tamei. The Gemara says here that that hand makes the other hand tamei. The other hand will be one lower level of tumah. It makes it, that first hand can make the second hand pasul, but doesn't make it tamei. The second hand will not go on to be mitamei a third hand. Well, that proves that Reish Lakish changed his mind. Because over here you see that Reish Lakish is saying that his hand can touch his friend's hand and make it tamei, which is in agreement with Rabbi Yochanan. That's number one. Number two is, v'lifsol avolo letamei tanaehi. That which Rabbi Yochanan says, and now later Reish Lakish is agreeing with, that your first hand is tamei, and it can affect other hands, including yours or your friend's hand, but when it conveys tumah to the next hand, it's only posel. That hand is pasol, meaning it's tamei, but it's not mitamei, it does not convey tumah further. The second hand will not make a third hand tamei. That is a machloket tanaim, titnan. Kol posel b'truma mitamei l'idayim liot shniot. Anything that's posel truma. Truma can be pasul by a shlishi. That's the end of the line for truma. That means that kol posel l'truma, anything that's a sheni l'tuma, mitamei l'idayim liot shniot. It makes the hands into a sheni l'tuma. V'yad mitamei chaverta. And one hand is mitamei its friend. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. V'chachamim arim yadayim shniot hein. Ve'ein sheni osa sheni. Your hands are a sheni de tuma, and a sheni can't make same level sheni. It has to drop down a level. So sheni, you can only make a shlishi. So my love, sheni hu dulo of it. What the chachamim are saying that is, your hand can't make a sheni de tuma, ha shlishi of it. Maybe it can make a shlishi de tuma. So the way we're explaining this right now is, according to the chachamim, your hand is a sheni de tuma. If, for instance, it touches your other hand, it won't make it a sheni de tuma, because you can't keep something at the same level. That means it makes your other hand a shlishi l'tumah. Well, a sheni l'tumah is tamei in kodesh because it can convey tumah to something that will also make something else tamei. A shlishi l'tumah in kodesh is only posel. It can only touch something and make it a revi, which is the end of the line for kodesh. So in that case, what you see is the chachamim believe, like what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are saying, or really they're following the position of the chachamim, which is that one hand is a sheni, the other hand becomes a shlishi, which means that it's only posel. The second hand is only posel, it's not mitameh.
On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Obviously, he's saying that a sheni can make a sheni, which is one hand is a sheni of the tumah, the other hand is also a sheni of the tumah. And there you see your machloket tanaim. As to when one hand conveys tumah to the other hand, is the other hand now tamei, meaning a sheni, because it can pass tumah to something that will be tamei something else? Or is your other hand a shlishi, and therefore it's only posel and not mitamei? So that is actually a machloket tanaim. The Gemara says, how do you know that? Maybe it's not that case. Dilma, lo sheni avid, v'lo shlishi. Maybe what the chamim are saying is that your hand is a sheni of the tumah, and therefore it can't make a sheni. Can't make a sheni, but also can't make a shlishi. It can't do anything. Once a hand doesn't convey tumah to the other hand. Maybe that's the position of the chachamim over here. They're not telling you that it drops a level. They're telling you there's no tumah moving from one hand to the other. Once you've done that, then you have no din machloket here about whether it drops a level or doesn't drop a level. It's a machloket of whether one hand is metameh the other. It's a completely different issue. So Gemara says, elokihani tanei. No, we have another machloket taneim. Titanya, this is the bright that we brought before. Yadni guva, metameh chavreta, litameh bikodesh. Avalo litruma divrei rabbi. Rabbi says, your hand is metameh, the other hand, litameh, to make something else tameh in kodesh, but not in truma. That's Rabbi's position. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudomer, oto yad lifsol of alo litameh. Right, that hand can be posel and not be metameh. That's exactly the machloket that we're looking for, which is a machloket in whether when one hand conveys truma to the other hand, what's the status of the second hand. According to Rabbi, the second hand is tameh, to be metameh kodesh. That means that the second hand is also a sheni the tumah. Because you can only be a mitameh kodesh, which is you make a shlishi, which can make a revi. So according to Rabbi, one hand is sheni, the other hand is also a sheni. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, oto yad can only be posel. Posel means that he brings that hand to a shlishi. The first hand is a sheni the tumah, second hand is a shlishi the tumah, and that's similar to what Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were saying. So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are saying their opinion within Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's only posel and not mitameh. Just to sum up over here, we have two different machlokot that the Gemara is interested in. The first one is Rav Shizvi suggesting that tumah can only be conveyed from one hand to the other through chiburim, through an attachment. Again, we saw machlokot in the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosafot, what exactly that chiburim means. But that means that one hand must be touching the other hand while it's touching the kodesh, or while it's touching the tumah, in order for there to be conveyance of tumah. That's one question that the Gemara deals with. Abaye challenges that. And seemingly, according to many, the Gemara now says Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are also supporting Abaye's position that there is no din of chiburim over here. So that's one question the Gemara dealt with. Is this only through chiburim, or is there any contact between the hands that conveys the tumah? Number one. Second question that we deal with over here is, what is the status of the second hand? If we agree that one hand makes the other hand tamei in kodesh, what is the status of the second hand? The first hand, we know its status is a sheni the tumah. What's the level on the second hand? Is the second hand a sheni the tumah, similar to the first hand? Or is the second hand a shlishi the tumah? And that's the position we saw in Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi is saying, no, they stay at the same level. The last question that we had was whether this tumah of transference from one hand to the other only applies to you or also applies to your friend's hands. In the beginning, we saw as machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The end, Reish Lakish acquiesces to the position of Rabbi Yochanan, so there's no machloket anymore. So it does convey tumah to your friend's hand. And then you're back to the first question, which is when you convey the tumah to your friend's hand, is your friend's hand a sheni or a shlishi the tumah? Right now, the Gemara moves on to the last piece of our Mishnah, which is ochlim, ochlim niguvim biyadayim misuvot. You can eat items that are dry with hands that are tamei. Your hands that are tamei, that are sheni the tumah. You can eat food that is dry, that was never mukshar the kabel tumah, never got a hechshar the kabel tumah. Since it never had a hechshar the kabel tumah, it won't be mekabel tumah. So your hands that are sheni, even though they would make a shlishi the tumah and it would be problematic by truma, say don't worry about it. Why? Because the food is not mukshar the kabel tumah. It can't accept tumah. By kodesh, we have a mailah and say don't do that. Now the Gemara asks about that. Tanya, Amar b'chanina ben Antigonus, b'chiyesh niguva the kodesh. Wait a minute. Niguva, you're saying this item is dry. Because it's dry, that's why it wasn't mukshar the kabel tumah. So that's why you can touch it with your hands that are a sheni the tumah, because it's never going to be mekabel tumah, because it never was mukshar, it was never primed. Rav Chanina ben Antigonus says, wait a minute, by kodesh, you don't need hechshar the kabel tumah. We have something called chibat ha-kodesh. The love for kodesh is automatically machshir, it primes it to accept Tuma. Meaning that since Kodesh is such a high level, and we're so connected to it, you don't need the water to go over it to make it Mukshir the Kabbal Tuma. The love of Kodesh is machshir it. Well, if that's the case, then even if it's dry, Kodesh is a problem when your hands are Sheni the Tuma, because it doesn't need to be primed in order to accept Tuma. If that's the case, then what's the chap over here? What's the big deal? It's dry. Okay, great, it's dry. But the reason that Truma doesn't accept Tuma is because Truma is not Mukshir the Kabbal Tuma. Kodesh is Mukshir the Kabbal Tuma, and therefore it accepts Tuma. It has nothing to do with the Milot between them. If Truma was also Mukshir, it would also accept Tuma. But that, just that Kodesh is Mukshir the Kabbal Tuma. They're not on the same level because the Kodesh is considered to have been primed, and the Truma is not considered to be primed. So that's the difference between them. So Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, here is the case. Kigon, Shetachav Lo Chavero Lutoch Piv. His friend put it into his mouth. O Shetachav Hu Latzmo. He put the food into his mouth. Bekush Ubekarkar. He used some sort of wooden utensil that is not Mekabel Tuma, whether it's like a splinter of some sort, like a toothpick, karkar, things that are used in the weaving process. So if he used one of those, he poked it into the fruit, stuck in his mouth, so they never touches the actual item. Oh, now, ubikesh lechol tznon ubatzal. Then he wants to eat radish or onion, shel chulin, of chulin, imahen, with them. So lekodesh gazrubo, by kodesh they were gozer, rabbanan, lechuma lo gazrubo, rabbanan, by chuma they were not gozer. So what happened over here? Rashi and Tosafot disagree about what happened over here. Rashi says, far as chulin is concerned, your hands don't affect chulin. So for you to pick up this radish or this onion over here, no problem for you to come to in direct contact with the item. Why? Because these items are dry items. You pick them up and you can eat them, no problem, because there's no tuma of chulin beyond sheni the tuma. Your hands are sheni, no problem. So you can eat them. So in a vacuum, to pick up chulin with your hands is not a problem. The problem is that in your mouth, you already have kodesh, or you already have truma inside your mouth. So now I'm going to pick up the chulin with my yadayim tmeot and put it into my mouth. Now, what are we afraid of? Tempen tiga yadam suavot v'chlei kodesh b'fiv. Word is that when you're putting the radish or the onion into your mouth, you'll touch what's in your mouth, the truma that's already there, or the kodesh that's already there. So now these items are ready. The truma is mukshir the kabbal tuma. The kodesh is mukshir the kabbal tuma. They're prime. They can accept tuma. Their hands are sheni. They would affect it. So why didn't you affect the truma or the kodesh? Because either someone else stuck it in your mouth, or you used a toothpick of some sort and you put it in your mouth. So that's how you avoided your hands ruining the kodesh and the truma. So now it's in your mouth. Now you want to take those same hands and pick up something that's chulin, that is dry. As we're talking about here, chulin that is dry, and put it in your mouth. Chalmim said by truma that's fine, by kodesh that's not fine. Why? What's the fear? The fear is that your hands that are tamei will touch the truma or the kodesh in your mouth and make it tamei. So that's why we're afraid of. By truma we say don't worry about that, it's so far-fetched. By kodesh it's a maila of kodesh, and we say we do worry about that, and your hands might come into contact with the kodesh that is in your mouth. So that's how we reread the case in the Mishnah according to Rashi. On the other hand, Tosafot suggests over here, so he says, V'od anu yocholin nefresh, dilma naga baruk bepiv, techashiv mashkeh. That the fear is not that he will touch the kodesh or the truma directly, but along the lines of what Fred was suggesting over here is that he touches the saliva in his mouth. Now, a sheni the tuma that touches the saliva in his mouth, that makes the saliva into a rishon the tuma. Once you've done that, it becomes a rishon the tuma, then you have problems, because that rishon the tuma, which is in your mouth now, the liquids in your mouth, the rishon the tuma, are going to touch the kodesh or the truma that's in your mouth. So the fear is that neither you're going to come into contact with the kodesh or the truma in your mouth, but you're going to come into contact with the saliva in your mouth. That'll make it a rishon the tuma, and that's then going to cause problems, whatever's in your mouth, the kodesh or the truma that's in your mouth. That's the way Tosafot learns it. Another possibility. It brings Rashi's explanation, then brings this as an alternative explanation. That's the way they understand the Gemara. The Rambam actually has a third way of learning the Gemara, where the Gemara is suggesting here that even if someone puts it into your mouth in a way that you don't touch it, or you put the kodesh into your mouth the way that you don't touch it, it is still asur because of the chashash. What's the chashash? That you might also eat ochlin, chulin, that are mukhsharin, the kabel tuma, and when you touch them with your hands, you'll make that chulin tamei, and when you put that tamei chulin into your mouth, it will impact the kodesh or truma that's in your mouth.
Therefore, according to the Rambam, you can't eat the Kodesh at all. The Gzeira was to prevent you from even eating Kodesh in such an indirect manner. Whereas Rashi and Tosafot, the problem is not that you ate the Kodesh in the indirect manner, but that afterwards you want to eat Chulin with it. According to the Rambam, the Gzeira is that because you might eat Chulin with it, you can't even do this in the first place. Right now, Ha'onein v'Mechusar Kippurim. Someone who is an Onein or Mechusar Kippurim, we said in the Mishnah, he needs to go to the mikveh. Now, he doesn't really need to go to the mikveh. First, that's Mechusar Kippurim, already went to the mikveh on his seventh day. Sunset, he's tahor. All he's waiting to do is bring his korbanot. Now we're saying, after he brings his korbanot, he has to go to the mikveh again? Mikveh? Why do you need to go to the mikveh? He already went to the mikveh. He's tahor legamrei. Why is he going to the mikveh? Onein also. Onein who buried his mate and is done. Why does he have to go to the mikveh? If he's tamei mate, going to the mikveh is going to do nothing for him. If he's not tamei mate, why does he have to go to the mikveh? So my taima, kevin da'id da'id na'avi asirei atzrichinu rabbanan tefillah. Since until this point in time, they were precluded from touching Kodesh, the Chachamim said, this is a reminder. You've just crossed over a threshold. Until now, you were usher in Kodesh. Since you were usher in Kodesh, you did not, or you were not, so careful about what you came into contact with, because you couldn't eat Kodesh anyway. So you weren't as focused on this issue. So what we do is we tell you, go to the mikveh, to get refocused on the fact that now you're going to eat Kodesh, you have to remember now that you can't come into contact with things. Or, this will remind you that you did come into contact with something that was tamei. Uh-oh, I needed to go to the mikveh, I need Harem Shemesh. So, the mikveh here is both a reminder for the future, that I'm now your mutter b'kodesh. Remember, now you've changed status. So that's a way to demarcate where the status changed. It's also a reminder that until now you were usher in Kodesh, maybe you weren't so careful. Go to the mikveh, maybe that'll remind you that you did come into contact with Tumah, and then you won't eat the Kodesh because you go, oh my gosh, I remember I touched this item, I have to go to the mikveh, I have to wait for sunset before I become Tahor. So that's how this extra trip to the mikveh is helpful. It's a demarcation line, either to remind us of what happened in the past, to make sure we didn't make any mistakes, or also to demarcate and tell us in the future, we're now in a different world. Now you're okay by Kodesh, you better be careful going forward. Okay, we'll stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Kaf Daled Amud Bet.